email todayradio@rte.ie.
Well, lots of you texting 51551 about the quarantine and travelling and whether you should travel or not. Heather Cleggan has texted to say, here in Connemara, there are lots of groups and camper vans who clearly haven't quarantined. Groups of French and Spanish young people, British campers, British motorbikes. If we have that kind of influx from abroad, then we leave the country open to importing the virus, let alone the Irish people bringing it back. And Tony tends to agree with Heather. He says, while UK travellers remain free to come and go here, any other travel restrictions are a nonsense. Well, you can keep your text coming to 51551 or you can tweet us at Today Radio RTE. Now, in a weekend of political surprises in terms of cabinet appointments, another surprise came in the form of the Shannon nominations when it emerged that there would no longer be a voice from Northern Ireland among the Taoiseach's nominees and there would no longer be a unionist voice in the Shannon. Ian Marshall was that voice, the former president of the Ulster Farmers Union and South Armagh unionist. He was nominated to the Shannon in 2018 by the then Taoiseach Leo Varadkar and then he ran unsuccessfully for re-election earlier this year but he didn't get the phone call at the weekend and he joins me now on the line. Good morning Ian and thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Good morning Sarah.
So were you expecting to get a call on Saturday?
Well I think the lead up to this this process well, the indications were that they would get that call. Two very productive years, very successful years, building breaking down barriers. All indications were that I couldn't effectively get elected through the Shannon process, the election process. I ran to demonstrate my intent and my sincerity about getting back.
I think that line to Ian is not great there. We'll keep at it, Ian, and see does it improve.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were saying that you ran in the actual Shannon elections to demonstrate your intention to get back there. Were you asked to run in the elections?
Yeah, I was advised that I should run that to demonstrate my intent. I'm subject to not being able to get elected. The powers that be felt that I needed to be back and via mechanism of the nomination process was the natural and probably the only mechanism to return me to the Shannon.
Okay, so you were advised to run. Who advised you to do that?
Senior figures in the political arena, and that advice was: look, you need to show intent that you've had a good 2 years. We've achieved a lot, and I think you should be back there.
And how did you find that then, going around the country looking for votes, knowing that this was an unlikely success story for you?
Well, I think it was a good opportunity for me to engage with local councils, to meet people, to speak to people on the ground. And interestingly, Sarah, the feedback was all unbelievably positive. There was no negativity. It was, yep, we need your voice. You need to be there. We need to hear this perspective. And I think that was important because I think the serious lack of understanding between Belfast and Dublin, a lack of engagement. And even though there's some political engagement, what the Shannon demonstrated was that when I was immersed for 2 years in that process, I got to really learn and understand the things that mattered, the value sets to the people in Dublin, in Leinster House, and in rural Ireland. And armed with that knowledge, I acted as a conduit of Belfast in Dublin. And what we achieved in 2 years, really phenomenal.
So how significant then will it be not for there not to be a unionist voice in the Shannon, in your view?
Well, I think it's very significant, and it's significant because I believe this is a missed opportunity. I believe this morning, and you know, Northern Ireland Press has been fairly vocal about this, but I believe this morning that the entire union community in Northern Ireland really feel let down and really feel that, you know, they've been left behind on this. I think the interesting thing is that at the minute everyone's gone silent on this. The new government have answering the question why this was done. I think when we look back to my nomination or my election 3 years ago, it's important to remember that I was asked by.
Yeah, I don't know about that line, Ian. Unfortunately, it's just very difficult to. Is Ian gone altogether? Yeah, I think Ian is gone altogether. We're going to take a break and see if we can get Ian back up on the line.
Today with Sarah McInerney, weekdays from 10 on RTE Radio 1.
Well, I think we have Ian Marshall back on the line. Ian, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can indeed, Sarah.
Great, okay, then that line sounds quite a bit better, so hopefully that'll hold for us. If I could just go back to Saturday for a second, and I do want to get on to your thoughts on your presence or a unionist presence not being in the Shannon, but on Saturday then, you were expecting the call, you didn't get the call to be one of the Taoiseach's nominees. How did you find out?
Well, interestingly, Sarah, as you say, I watched all the proceedings on Saturday, expecting to get a call based on information in the run-up to this process. And I found out via a journalist who posted a social media post on Twitter to say, here's the list of the Shannon nominations. So I suppose that was a bit of a shock. It was surprising that no one had lifted the phone and said, look, no position on you from the Shannon this time around. And I think I'm brought up where it's about manners and courtesy and respect. And I think it was a huge insult to learn via social media post from a journalist.
And who do you perceive the insult as having come from? Who should have picked up the phone?
I don't know, because I'm not sure who actually made this decision. I think that the silence now is interesting, because no one is taking ownership of this or said, well, look, here's the rationale for taking this action. So I think other people within government need to answer why they've done this, why they felt that this was appropriate based on 2 years' very, very productive work and you know, a lot of achievements in that period.
And what would you say to people, Ian, who would just say this is the rough and tumble of politics? I mean, we've seen a lot of disappointed people over the weekend in the political parties here. You know, that's just the way it goes sometimes.
Well, I think this isn't per se about Ian Marshall. That's actually irrelevant. What this is the message this has sent out, the optics that this has sent out from Dublin to Belfast. And remember, when I took my seat in the Shannon, I came under a lot of criticism in Northern Ireland. The radicals, the extremists, said, don't go. You can't trust Dublin. It's only tokenism. And I reassured them that it wasn't tokenism. I reassured them that Dublin was not a cold house for unionists. And I reassured them that the people south of the border and in Leinster House were good people with integrity who genuinely believed there was a shared future together on this island. And I think that the shock for myself and for that community today is that this looks like tokenism. This looks like there was no substance to it. And this looks like their voice doesn't matter. And I think that's their concern.
And yet the programme for government for this new coalition does provide for a new unit to be established in the Department of the Taoiseach to work towards a consensus on a shared island. I'm certain that someone in Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil will point to that as their commitment to working with Northern Ireland.
Yeah, that's right. That's in there. That's important. This new unit will be critically important. However, I think it sets a particularly bad example and a bad start to this when the one unionist perspective and the one unionist voice in this. Remember, you already have two Northern senators in the Shannon from Sinn Féin, and Alicia McCallion and Niall O'Donnell. So they're there. So there is a Northern Ireland voice, but there's no Northern Ireland unionist perspective. And I think that's important, because there is 900,000 unionists on the island, and I think their opinion is important. And if we're going to build a future together, which, let's be honest, the last part of this conversation is any constitutional change. So this is about jobs, health, education. This is about uniting the people across an island and getting a genuine lack of understanding. And when we look like individuals in government, for example, Simon Coveney has done sterling work, and it's really good to see Simon back in DFA. And I think that good work now, there's a concern, there's a risk that mistrust will be encouraged now, and people say, well, this was tokenism. How can we trust these guys? There's not a genuine concern about building consensus. So for me, it's not actually about me. It's about that community and the optics and the message this sends out that, you know, you don't really matter here.
And is that what the reaction has been in your community then, since you got the news on Saturday, or as you say, found out on Twitter?
The interesting thing, Sarah, has been that the reaction, which was immediate and was unbelievable, the tsunami of reaction, it came from all sides of the community, from unionists, from nationalists, from Republicans, from loyalists, who said this is crazy, who are just in shock and disbelief, because I had engaged with all of those people. They knew the good work we were doing. They knew the opportunities that this created. So I was blown away with the reaction. And when I was in Dublin yesterday, I was blown away with the level of disgust and shock that this is the course of action that has been taken.
And what would you say to people, Ian, who would say you're just angling for a job here, or a new role maybe in relation to cross-border work, and that if the government offered you a new job tomorrow, you take it?
I've never chased this role. And I remember I was invited to run for this, so I never had envisaged any engagement with the political arena south of the border or north of the border, for that example. The interesting thing is I haven't chased this. I haven't courted. I do many other things. I work in Queen's University Belfast. I have other things going on. I want to make a change. I had an opportunity 2 years ago to make that change. It was a bit of a leap of faith. And as I say, I've come under some criticism for that. But this has demonstrated that if I could show that leadership, that I can take other people with me. It's about creating a safe space. And if we create that safe space, we can build on what we've had for 2 years. So it's not about a personal agenda here, but what it's demonstrated, if you get the right person in this situation, that actually we can take a lot of people with us.
All right, well, we'll leave it there. But Ian Marshall, former president of the Ulster Farmers Union and South Armagh Unionist, who was nominated to the Shannon in 2018 by the then Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, thank you very much for joining me this morning. Now, do stay with us, because after the break, employment law specialist Richard Grogan joins me in studio, and we're going to be talking about redundancy for employers and employees. You can text your questions now to 51551, or you can email us todayradio@rte.ie.